I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7. This is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood. And I have on the phone with me Senator Carla Bigham with the Minnesota Senate. And I'd like to welcome you to the show this morning, Senator.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate you having me.
With a special session just having wrapped up recently, we'd like to speak with you, Senator, about the accomplishments and information that was handled and taken care of during that session. I'd like to start with the CARES Act money. That it seems that there was some confusion, or where the Senate passed out a bill and the House of Representatives didn't act on it, and then the governor went ahead and released that money. Walk us through that, please.
Sure. So the CARES Act is, the state received a lot of money from the federal government to offset the cost of COVID. The portion that should have gone to cities and counties and towns is about $841 million. 85 of the 87 counties had not received their money yet because the way the bill was written, the federal government gave a direct appropriation to Ramsey and Hennepin. All the other 85 counties didn't receive their money to help offset costs. And these costs are for preparing your jails if you're a county, your workforce for having those folks that can't stay home, for having PPE and different equipment and sanitizers and all of that stuff. Plus, you have workers' comp issues. Say you had a jailer, or say you had a sheriff, or you had an essential employee that got sick with COVID and they had to use workers' comp or PTO that was unexpected for the county. All that stuff is reimbursable. Also, one of the things in the proposal, and I'll get to it in a second, also deals with housing assistance for individuals, business assistance for businesses, and those types of things. It all is to offset the cost of these unexpected COVID-related costs for cities and counties and towns. So the Senate passed, and I was very much involved in this due to my unique past experience as a Cottage Grove City Council member and a Washington County Commissioner, both with the administration, with the Republicans in the Senate, with Republicans in the House, with Democrats in the House and the Senate. So it really was a very much needed bill, and it should have been done in regular session. And that's been my hiccup the whole time. We should have been able to get this done in before May. We knew all about this in April, and it should not have taken until having the governor issue this money on June 25th. It just shouldn't. I mean, it's terrible, terrible, terrible that we couldn't get this done in regular session because there was an agreement. Essentially, there's a disbursement formula for the local government that was agreed upon by the legislators that were in charge of kind of handling this legislation. Then the House put on a supplemental budget, which I want to get to in a second. So by how that process works is, and that's their right to do it, I don't actually have any problem with the House or the Senate making the bill the way they want to make the bill and let the other body figure it out, because that's how we make laws, Mike. And so the process that we have had has been abhorrent. They gave $841 million a informational hearing, Mike. So no amendments were allowed. It was ridiculous. And, you know, I was on last week talking to you about this, how they hadn't even scheduled a hearing. I signed on to the bill thinking they were going to give it a hearing, and they didn't. They didn't. Then finally they did, and it was informational. So the public couldn't come in to say, hey, we should amend this, and then, hey, can, you know, like, and no member could amend this. They could just give feedback on it. So the House attached the supplemental budget to it, sent it over to the Senate. Well, instead of the Senate not concurring with the House, which happens all the time, and then we go to a conference committee, they took their toys from the sandbox and went home, and they just adjourned the Senate. So they shut everything down, they walked away, and it's terrible. I mean, again, we have a job to do. This is the legislature's job. They failed to do it. And then they put the governor in the spot where he knows how bad these counties, cities, and townships need the money. So he's like, the heck with you guys, you can't figure this out, and we've got to get him this money. So he just did, which is his power and authority, because we passed a bill in March giving him such authority, and he did it. He took it upon himself because he knows how important, and at my urging, to get this money out, because it's not right that Hennepin and Ramsey have had over 2 months now of being able to build housing assistance programs, business assistance programs, food assistance program. So he released the $841 million, and it's going to go through an LAC process, and that's the process with legislators. It takes about 10 days. It's a council. They just go through it, and it's agreed upon, so I'm not going to worry that it won't go through, because it's the same language the Senate passed. There was only four people that voted against it.
Okay.
So it's going to go fine. But let's talk about what the supplemental budget had, the things that we needed to address. And these are things that honestly are not controversial at all. We were talking about maybe a personal care assistant increase, their wage increase. Now, these folks take care of our most vulnerable people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working, they're putting themselves, you know, at risk for getting COVID. And they're working hard. They're working under these unusual and unprecedented circumstances. And so we wanted to create a temporary increase of 15% to help them. And this money would have paid for that. Way back in the day, there were some overpayments to the tribes and also to counties. We needed to fix that, because you know what happens now? That money now has to be paid back by the counties, which is a shift. And that's going to fall on property taxes.
Right.
And I'm not going to get everything, because I'm just going here off the cuff, but Veterans Suicide Office would have received money. Veterans Homelessness Program would have received money. The Department of Corrections has huge, is no secret, has huge overtime costs, compensation costs. They're having problems. I've been like a dog with a bone on this issue about maintaining and filling positions. There was money in there for that. And by the way, there is a reduction in the budget for some of the stuff in the DOC because of some community-based alternatives, which is cheaper than putting them in prison. But here's the other thing. There was money in there for the rape kit testing, which we have a huge backlog. This can help catch rapists. The State Patrol, they needed an adjustment for compensation and equipment, and they didn't receive it. Now, those brave men and women have been protecting us up at the Capitol the whole time. I swear there's like 100 of them up there. They've been doing a fantastic job out there during not only the riots, but every day. The Minnesota Zoo, $6 million would have made sure that this the zoo would have stayed in, and we have stayed open, and we have animals there to protect, right?
Right.
But also MFIB, which is for some of the most poor people in our state that have really been even worse impacted by COVID, to give them an adjustment. We also have chronic wasting disease. There is invasive species. So there's a lot of good things in here that needed to be done. They weren't egregious. And instead of just saying, nope, we're not going to concur, and we'll go to a conference committee and we can negotiate and talk about, okay, maybe I don't want to pay for chronic wasting disease, or maybe I don't want to pay for, you know, the zoo or whatever, right now, then they could have negotiated between the House and the Senate and then send a bill over to the governor, which is our normal process. But I tell you, nothing has been normal in this session.
Right.
But I tell you what, kudos to the House and Speaker Hortman, because she's actually having hearings, Mike.
Okay.
And where the Senate is having informational hearings, whether it's been on criminal justice reform or on $841 million, they're not letting any amendments. They're just having informational hearings because they're afraid of taking the difficult votes. They're afraid of really getting down there, rolling their sleeves up and governing, and it's a problem. And so, you know, we're going to have to let the voters decide in November what they want to do. But the fact is we have a process that needs to be upheld, and we need to be held accountable for it. And I'm not going to be quiet, surprised, about my discontent with how this process has gone. But we did pass a wonderful, wonderful bill that I was also happy to be part of discussions with. It's about $62 million, Mike, in small business grants.
Okay.
These businesses can get about $10,000 if you have 50 employees or less. So it's really, really targeting those small businesses It's prioritizing, there's pots of money carved out for minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses. But my concern has always been when this all started and the federal bill came, it really left a gap for S-corps and LLCs and sole proprietors. And I think of your bar owners, mm-hmm. are, for example, are S-corps because of liability. And so how you organize your business, you don't want that liability personally, so you form an S-corp. And those folks were not eligible for any assistance. And so this passed unanimously. This is fantastic. I brought this discussion to our lead on the committee, Senator Bobby Jo Champion, who's just amazing, and he kept me in the loop on the whole thing, and we were going back and forth about what it would look like for these businesses, how we could help them. I was talking to small business owners, whether, you know, it was some of the folks in Hastings downtown or St. Paul Park downtown business. You know, we're really being engaged with our businesses to help meet their needs, because we need to offset the economic impact this is having.
Okay. And so there's a lot of information in there, and mm-hmm. it sounds like there's a lot of intricacies for getting these ideas and these legislation packages through the system. What's the mm-hmm. upswing for all of that?
Well, I think you look at Hastings will receive $1.7 million from the CARES money. Dakota County alone gets about $52 million. So they should, you know, be able to create more business programs. I know Hastings and Christy Bars from the Chamber has done coordination with the Downtown Business Association has done a good job of working with the city on some loan programs. And so hopefully this money, they can work with Dakota County and Hastings and do that. That's kind of the upswing. And if there's housing assistance, maybe rent deposit, I mean, they can all do that kind of stuff. And also getting $10,000 to a very small business will hopefully be able to keep them afloat through a really difficult time.
All right.
But I think I think when you look at the other bill I wanted to say that passed, which I was very excited about, was the expansion of broadband grants. And that's, you know, telemedicine is here to stay, Mike. Distance learning, well, we don't know if it's here to stay yet. You know, maybe in we'll you know, kind of, we have to prepare for it. But investment in broadband is huge, and it's a smart investment. It's a good investment, COVID or not. It's a good investment.
Right.
So,
yep.
And that passed. I wanted to make sure to get that in. But what didn't pass was a bonding bill. What didn't pass was criminal justice reform.
All right. Really quickly, going back to the $841 million that was kind of tossed around like a political football a little bit, I think. When will that money be released then after the governor authorized that?
Yep, so it goes to the committee. I think within 10 days here, it will be in the city, county, and township's coffers. It's about a 10-day process all in, and it might even be faster than that.
Okay, and then we also talked a little bit about the bonding bill and the, mm-hmm. the criminal justice reform.
Sure.
Is that now just tabled for the duration? Is there good? Well, let me start this way. Is there going to be another special session in July for the continuation of Governor Walz's powers?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I think you see the governor continuing to open up Minnesota. That's a very interesting question. You know, we have a couple weeks here. And as we know, it seems like a 2-week cycle for COVID, from when you get infected to when maybe you test positive or symptoms or if you're asymptomatic. But I think, to keep things in perspective, you know, that's $50 million a month we get from the federal government. So that's a big chunk of change when we're facing a huge deficit. But two, remember, if those emergency powers are overturned immediately without a drawdown, then people will be evicted right away, because remember, there's emergency orders saying you can't be evicted. Those brave National Guardsmen that are doing testing in long-term care facilities, those would go away right away. And as I've always said, if you have a small business, and I always use Spiro Brewery, if they would get swept with COVID, all their employees, and they have to shut down, right now there are opportunities for them to receive assistance without the emergency declaration. There is not. So they literally would have to close their doors for 2 weeks and not be able to, you know, because right. they don't, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be able to receive any assistance. So I think that is something folks need to keep in mind, big picture. And I will say 49 other states have emergency powers. The only one that doesn't is Wisconsin, and that's because their Supreme Court struck it down. But even our territories, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, they all have them. And most importantly, President Trump has it over the country right now. So it's a wise idea for Governor Walz and President Trump to be able to quickly get money to us if we would have a huge spike. And we can talk about that. Now, down south, they're having increases, especially Texas, especially Arizona, especially Florida, and some of the more southern, warmer states, because my guess is that it's hot. They're inside now.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's just that's why it's doing it. I don't know. Our numbers, while the positive tests go up, that doesn't concern me right now. What always has concerned me, and I've said this numerous times on your program, are the hospitalization numbers and the ICUs. Now, over the last few weeks, a couple of weeks here, they've gone down as far as hospitalizations. But now, all of a sudden, you know, we've had 3 days of admissions into ICUs and 2 days of hospitalizations increasing. So is this starting something? I don't know. We're going to just have to wait and see. But if the governor wants to extend his emergency powers, he will have to call us back in. So we'll see on that. My guess is that he will continue to look at adjusting his executive orders, continuing to talk with his departments about whether or not they still need them, continue to talk with his departments about how long will it take for you to get, you know, to not need them anymore? Like, does it take you 30 days, 60, 90? What will it take for you to get, you know, back to quote unquote a new normal? And so I think those are the discussions the governor needs to continue to have. And I encourage him to keep having those discussions.
Excellent. Senator Bigham, we have kind of run out of time for this segment. I appreciate, as always, all the good information you bring us. I would like to give you once again the opportunity to provide your contact information if people have questions or concerns.
Sure. Folks can call me at 651-297-8060 and can always send me an email at sen.carla with a K dot Bigham at senate.mn.
All right. Senator Bigham, once again, thank you for your time today. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
You're very welcome. This is Community In-Depth on KDWA Radio, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No. But how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yes.